Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your favorite Uncle Silk.
It's Dan.
And Don Torrey.
Same corner, same time. It's National Portal Day, man. 12-5 is here. A lot of good vibrations going on with the portal. Some exits, some entrances. How y'all feeling? Y'all good?
It's more exciting than the National Signing Day now.
For sure. For sure.
I mean, there's what, Nick, you were saying you think that there's probably over 1,000 people already in the portal?
Yeah, there were like 700 at 11:30. So that's, you know, 4 hours ago. So, yeah, I think we're up to over 1,000.
Yeah, and I think that you're going to see a lot of players, you know, moving and shaking. I think you're going to get some quick hits, you know, probably some decisions this week, next couple days. Right. And then what do you guys think it'll do? You think it'll slow down? Do you think you'll get a lot more names? Do you think everybody's going to enter today? Do you think some people wait to see who their competition is? What are your thoughts?
I think the original, it's like Black Friday. So the original push is going to be huge. And, you know, I think as things settle down, some players are going to see what depth charts kind of settle. Some players are going to get on rosters. That make players leave. You know, it's going to be a lot of acquisitions and a lot of moves, but no, I don't think it's going to stop. This entire window should be pretty busy. Them putting it into a window made it more intense, I think.
Yeah. Couple that with this 45-day window also having signing day in it. Wanting to get on a roster, you know, before, you know, teams, because I think we call it early signing day, but I think it's really just signing day now. Like most kids will be signed, you know, in this first signing period. So there's an emphasis on getting to a team. You want to get there before spring ball. So you have to get enrolled. And then you're battling, you know, how many spots do they have left at my position? And, you know, what is that signing class look like? So I think you're going to see some kids, not to call it tampering, of course not, allegedly. But I think you'll see some guys who are out of the portal tomorrow. In today, out tomorrow.
Sometimes you just know what you want, Nick. You know
it's love at first sight.
Yep.
Definitely no DMs or texts during a non.
I'm interested to see who actually takes visits, though, because I do think some of these FCS kids, a lot of these kids that are Power 5 or that were big-time recruits already seen some of these campuses or have previous relationships. So I'm interested to see you got the Kyle Murlock kid. We'll get into all the recruits, but the D2 kids, the FCS kids, I want to see if they take visits and what their process look like, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's get into a few things. We'll obviously, the bulk of our discussion today will be transfer portal. Did you guys have a good weekend? Because we historically always talk about that. So it's here Monday afternoon. Nick, how's your weekend? What'd you do?
Good weekend. Didn't have any game to cover, so I just got to watch games, which is nice.
You just scrolled the channel looking at scrolled the TV looking at punters all day, huh?
As one does.
As one does. So, what about you, buddy?
It was Art Basel weekend, man. So I was in Miami kicking it. Had a great time, though. I love being down amongst like a lot of creators, and there's a lot of, you know, artists, producers. There's a lot of fashion shows. You know, went to a couple concerts. Got to see Currency for the fourth time this year. But also saw Jadakiss, who was, you know, top five dead or alive, but also top five on my rappers to see list. So I got to see him live. Still want to see Styles P. Smoke Dizzle was there as well. Got to meet those guys, you know, a little meet and greet post concert. So artsy vibes down in Art Basel, man. Good times.
Is Art Basel's multiple weekends, right? Or is it just?
No, it's just one weekend.
Just one weekend. Correct. Yeah, I want to go. You know, this year it was just the timing of it, you know, with the holidays and everything else. So really want to try to make that happen next year. I had a couple friends that were down there beside you. Everything looked incredible. It looked really, really fun. So definitely on my to-do list before it gets a little too commercialized, because I know each and every year it grows. And as it grows, it kind of changes. It's nature. But Silk, did you participate? I don't know if you saw it, but there was a ATM where you swiped your debit card and then took a picture of you and put you up on a leaderboard. Did you participate?
I made sure I stayed clear of that whole facility. You know, I'm not Miami, bro. The money was out. That's one thing about Miami, bro. The crypto bros wasn't as heavy this year as it was the last 2 years. So, you know,
I understand why.
So the crypto bros wasn't down there, but
I don't know if the crypto bros could afford Art Basel this year.
Yeah.
Well, they need security and like a hideout. Witness protection is what most of these crypto boys need these days. But it was too much money in the city, man. Ferraris everywhere, Lambos everywhere, Wraiths. So I wasn't going by the machine to swipe my card to embarrass me and the set. You know, can't let the set down.
I understand, man. All right, well, let's get started, boys. I, as always, want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Alan Horn and Alan Horn Insurance, a State Farm company. I'll give him a call, 706-692-2888. Again, Alan Horn at 706-692-2888. You can visit him at alanhorninsurance.com if you are looking for life insurance, car insurance, home insurance, business insurance, retirement planning, whatever that might be. Alan Horn Insurance, 706-692-2888. All right, gentlemen, it is unfortunate that we have to lead with this news. This came out on Wednesday. Backup quarterback Jalen Kitna, who is expected to play in the bowl game, was arrested on Wednesday Wednesday morning, early afternoon, has five child pornography charges that were filed against him. He could not. I'm going to run through this story briefly. Sorry, just make sure that I get all my facts straight. So, he was arrested on Wednesday, charged with five counts of intent to distribute or distributing child pornography. He has been released from jail on December 1st. Jalen Kitna, it was ruled, could not have access to the internet during his time of probation. But this was all done as a part of an issue from a tip that the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children received on June 23rd, 2022. Obviously, a terribly sad, terribly disturbing incident. And Jalen Kitna was subsequently released from the program on Thursday. Gentlemen, any additional thoughts or commentary on the Jalen Kitna matter?
Having read the police report, pretty disturbing. I have no sympathy for him. Mm-hmm. I think from talking to people, I think it's a sickness. Like, I don't know if this is like a choice that you make, like you actively choose to be a pedophile. I think it's brain chemistry, but no sympathy for him. There's no place for that at Florida or really in society. Just prayers to the family. They're going through a tough time. And I don't really have anything nice to say. So I'll just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was wow, like shocking news. It's never a dull moment with Florida quarterbacks, bro. It's never ending, man. From Will Greer, you just go, it's always some drama. We just had the Marcus Stokes situation as well. So When I seen that, it was just like, you know, like you just shocked for a little minute. And then you, once you get the rest of the news and the information, it just gets a little bit more, you know, dark. But just tough situation, man, for everybody involved, the players on the team, his relationships there, you know, the staff as well. I'm pretty sure they was caught off guard by this. So it just was crazily shocked. And the University of Florida, I think, did the right move with the dismissal and moving forward and everything. I know some people will be wanting these institutions to move on their speed, but there's a legal speed that they move on. And I thought everything was handled appropriately.
Absolutely. He was released on $80,000 bond. According to his attorneys, he is out of state. He is still a UF student, will be completing his coursework at the end of December. That process, I don't think it's UF turning a blind eye to it as a university. I just know that there's a process in place for them to expel a student. He could face up to $10 in fines and 30 years in prison.
I think for his case, or for his charges, it's only like 16 months because they were second and third degree felonies.
Okay. Sorry. This article had it listed incorrectly though. So I appreciate that, Nick. But still the opportunity, likelihood of jail time.
What's the, you say it's only like 16, 18 months for that?
That's the mandatory minimum. The judge can use their discretion, and you can get a lot more.
I'm just curious. I didn't know.
Yeah. The judge will take things into consideration. He's 19 years old, no priors, comes from a good family, what his future looks like, remorse, take a bunch of things into consideration. But I think the mandatory minimum would be 16 months. It could be more.
Yeah, this says up to 45 years in prison and $35,000 worth of fines are all potentials. I do think that there are mandatory minimums and things of that nature if you are found guilty. Well, certainly we want to make sure that we are being accurate with all of that information as well. So as more things come out, we will certainly touch base on it. But Jalen Kitna is no longer a member of the University of Florida football program. And so, not to change subjects too broadly or too quickly, with that news, Jalen Kitna was expected to be the starting quarterback for the Gators game against Oregon State in the Las Vegas Bowl on December the 17th. With the news that Anthony Richardson would likely be going pro. It has since been announced. Let's get a little bit into this game against Oregon State, and then we'll get into the transfer portal and everything else, because that is why everybody is listening today. So, Nick, give us the down and dirty. Are you heading out to Sin City, my friend?
I am. I am. The Miami Dolphins, despite Sunday's game, got flexed to the Sunday night game, which means the Raiders play earlier, which means it's another Brunch Boys special with an 11:30 a.m. local kickoff in Sin City. So I need to make sure I'm in bed at a reasonable hour on the 16th.
Where are you going to be staying, Nick? I've got some ideas for you.
Yeah, well, you know, when the company's paying, you stay wherever the company pays.
Well, that's the nice part about Vegas is you can go relatively inexpensively. The hotels there aren't astronomical. Now, certainly you could.
Not this time of the year anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know that you're used to the penthouses at the Bellagio, Nick, and everything else. But, you know, maybe a stay at Resorts World or Paris will be up your alley this go around. You want me to hook you up? I've got a promoter friend out there. We can get you to a pool party on Sunday.
It's going to be 50 degrees during the day.
Well, we can get you to the nightclub at night. We can you go see Tiesto maybe, or Zed, Calvin Harris.
Dan's got me at the Parka pool party.
You know what? Ross
has a residency out there, man. Check out Ross. Yeah, or something.
You know, or David Copperfield's more up your alley. I don't really know, Nick.
Dan? You pulling up at Vegas? Craps
table.
I'm not pulling up in Vegas, no.
I respect that decision.
Listen, it's part of my job to promote the game. I don't know who the hell is playing for Florida. It's 11:30. I thought maybe some guys would stick around because it's the 17th, which means you get a trip to Vegas, which sucks if you're not 21. You can't do anything in Vegas. They're really strict.
These kids make them enough money to go to Vegas on their own these days.
Yeah, but, very strict, yeah.
But you get to go out, and then you get to go home for Christmas. And then that's not the case. So it's like the opening scene in Major League when they're going around Cleveland and they're like, who the hell are these guys? I don't know who's playing for Florida. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about Oregon State. I need to continue doing that research. I'm not super excited for this game other than getting the chance to go out to Vegas.
Who do you think Del Rio's cheering for?
I don't think Luke has much fondness for Florida. For Florida fans. So I think he's cheering for Oregon State. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Nick, is the game at Allegiant Stadium or is that UNLV Stadium?
Allegiant Stadium. It was
that's worthwhile going to then.
Yeah, knock another stadium. That looks like the Death Star out there.
It does.
It's right next to what, the MGM?
No, the MGM is down a little bit. It is right across the street from – this will come to me here in a second. Mandalay Bay. There is a walkway from Mandalay Bay under the highway right into Allegiant Stadium. So that could be the vibes for you.
Under the highway?
Under the highway.
Is that walkway under the highway?
Yeah. It was under and then right into Allegiant. So you can stay at the MGM. You can stay at – Cesar Palace. There's a lot of places you could stay.
Hey, man, go to Flamingo. Check out Dre's. They should have some fire concerts, man. That's the only thing, because you're not going to see a good football game, Nick. So go out there and enjoy the city. You know, shout out to D-Mill. He's out there. Hit him up. You know, try to, you know,
do check your out 13th Planet.
13th Planet. I heard they got mid out there at 13th Planet. I don't know, Dan.
Last time that I went.
Nice name, man. I like it.
It was nuts. That place is like a Costco. There are 75 registers. There is anything that you could possibly imagine. Go check it out. Mid by the bundles. But it's the experience.
For sure.
Everything's lit up, nice little glass cases and everything. But anyway, so Nick, we will discuss a little bit more. We'll do our Oregon State research. I would imagine based on our interest in the game, it will be very comprehensive before next week's show. Let's get into transfer portal talk. But as always, let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at Home Field Apparel. They appreciate it. We appreciate you guys using the promo code for Black Friday. But if you are looking for about 20 retro University of Florida athletic t-shirts, hoodies, or sweaters, go check out homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale. Get 15% off of your order. You will impress whoever you're buying gifts for this holiday season. So go visit them, homefieldapparel.com. Promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout. All right, boys, we have some announcements of folks that are going pro, and then we certainly have an announcement of a lot of players that are heading into the transfer portal. So with that being said, the biggest announcement thus far is quarterback Anthony Richardson and offensive lineman Osiris Torrance have announced that they will be heading to the NFL, both projected to be early round draft picks. Anthony Richardson likely in the first round and Osiris Torrance somewhere between the first and second round, although Mel Kiper and Todd McShay both have him ranked as their number one guard. Number nine defensive tackle, Gervon Dexter, also announced that he was going to be heading to the NFL early. And I believe that was all three that have announced they're going pro. Is that right, Nick? Am I missing anybody?
Yeah, Dexter, Torrance, Richardson. Brenton Cox.
Brenton Cox. Yep. Announced earlier in the season, and then Justin Shorter announced that he would be foregoing his last year to go into the draft as well. None of which are a surprise. Those are the three names. And if you include Justin Shorter, I don't think very many people expected him back for a sixth year. And then Brenton Cox certainly wasn't left with much alternative to come back to the University of Florida. Yeah. Anthony Richardson, obviously the name that is probably the most polarizing amongst Gator fans, but absolutely makes sense. Expected first round draft pick. multimillionaire the second he signs that dotted line. But any thoughts on those that are heading to the NFL? So,
expected most of these guys. Nobody surprised me. I think we spoke about it on these shows, this show all throughout the year that we expect Gervon to leave. Anthony Richardson, you know, like there's just so many reports coming out from NFL. Like, you know, it's all rumors, but there's like four or five teams looking to draft a quarterback in the top 10. It just makes a lot of sense. It's a down year for quarterbacks. And it's just, you know, the opportunity for him to put on for this logo as well. It's going to be a good thing for Billy Napier, regardless of what your opinion is on Anthony Richardson's season. This is a good look for Florida. This is a good look for Billy Napier to get a first-round quarterback under his belt year one. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a resume as far as quarterbacks and putting him into the league before this job. So I think this is going to take his quarterback recruiting up another notch, and it's already really good. So just like that for the quarterback position, like it for Anthony Richardson, I think he's going to be a good pro. I think he's going to be in the NFL a long time. Mm-hmm. Regardless of everybody's opinions, I think the NFL is going to give him time to develop and mature like they did Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, those guys with more of a high ceiling than right now talent and right now film and production. I think he fits that similar mold. I think he's going to be fine in the NFL. He just have to get reps. Kid hasn't been playing quarterback a long time. Torrance is just, you know, you got to go, man. And it's just his numbers every time they're tweeted out, bro. This just sound like unbelievable, unachievable type stats, bro. So it just makes sense for him to leave. And everybody else could I think, make rosters. I don't think any of these guys go undrafted, right? Mm-hmm. That's usually the thing. When people exit early, we're always concerned about them actually getting drafted or going undrafted free agent route. So I think all these guys get drafted.
Yeah, they're all gonna get drafted. Another one I think potentially could leave for the NFL would be Ricky Pearsall. I just don't know what another year in college does for him. Like, I think he is what he is. Like, he's mm-hmm. an NFL player. There's a team that'll look at him and say, hey, that's Cooper Kupp, that's Wes Welker, that's our slot guy. He can play on special teams for us. I don't know that he improves his draft stock significantly by coming back another year. So he's one that's on my radar in terms of guys looking at that could also declare. We'll see, though. AR.
You got to get a quarterback for me to come back if I'm Pearsall, right? Like,
yeah.
Listen, Ricky might hit the practice field Thursday and look around and go, yeah.
I'm out, bro.
I mean, he could.
Vegas is nice, man. So I go out here to Vegas and enjoy.
And
he's over 21.
I'm gonna play the game.
What?
I'm gonna enjoy Cesar's Pala.
Palache? Yeah. See if his beeper works. Nick, how when do you have to decide about the NFL? It's in January, right?
Yeah, he's got plenty of time.
Yeah, so he's got plenty of time. So I would imagine that there's a lot of wait and see for Ricky Pearsall. I mean, I don't know where Ricky Pearsall projects, right? I don't see a lot of him on.
I think he's a fourth
draft or fifth round pick. Like, I don't even know if I see that. I mean, do you really see a fourth or fifth round pick? I mean, other than you naming a slot just white wide
slot,
receiver,
slot white wide receivers or premium.
skill position players.
No, slot in particular. You know, I think he's talented. I think he could play in the NFL a long time as well. I'm with Nick.
He fills a lot of roster spots for you. He can return punts, he can return kicks, you can put him on all your special teams. And you can play in the slot.
Here's the thing. So if you're Ricky Pearsall and say you are getting grades from the NFL that says sixth round. But the NIL bread is clearly like could be matched, right? That's not hard money these days to match for 1 year. So it may be some money that could bring him back. Like financially, it could make sense for him to come back if he's maybe a late draftee and possibly an undrafted free agent.
That's wild times.
I don't even know. I think that you might even be able to get him more money, him coming back, than if he were to go to the NFL. And I say that because all of my research that I've done on the NFL draft this year, I have not seen one place mention Ricky Pearsall's name.
They don't know about Ricky yet, Dan.
Yeah. Well, but in my issue, I think that I have is like, yes, he is. You saw some productivity out of him. He's not exceptionally fast. He's not exceptionally like sure-handed. He's not. He's good. Nick makes a good point. Like, what does he get coming back? I don't know. He could get injured and he could be going to work for Alan Horn after he graduates selling insurance. I don't know, but he could also come back, sure himself up, get some additional training and coaching. And if he can get a quarterback that's going to sling the rock a little bit more, maybe the opportunity for him to catch some eyeballs is there. I just don't know if I see Ricky Pearsall going to the NFL unless he's really looking to just get out or doesn't have a quarterback, right?
Yeah, if Max Brown's throwing me the rock, like, I'm just going to go probably to the NFL.
Or yeah. Might exit myself into a transfer portal.
NIL could be a game changer there because if you are, like you said, a sixth-round pick, like, first off, there's no guarantee we even make a roster. So you're guaranteed to be on the roster at Florida if you're Ricky Pearsall. And if you're getting a six-figure NIL deal, you're going to make more money at Florida than you would as a sixth-round pick for the Rams.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't go to the Rams. They already have Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, but he's on the IR, Nick. You just never know.
Not next year.
Maybe you can go to the Dolphins.
You get Cooper Kupp on a rookie salary, man.
They got on a sixth-round rookie salary.
Mm.
No, I think he's a solid slot receiver, bro. I think he runs good routes. I think we've seen him take the lid off versus Florida State. He could do some deep stuff. He was productive at Arizona State. So there's a lot of correlation between leagues, you know, it's translating. Not mad at whatever decision he makes, I get it. You know, I don't think he can make a bad decision right here, but I think he comes back.
I just don't know if I see it.
The other guys, I think Osiris probably had to be told to leave. Like, he's just kind of got, like, he's happy where his feet are.
I don't want to pay attention to you say when he's coming back.
I think Rob Sale and Billy just, like, went to Osiris' house and, like, packed his stuff for him. It was like, hey, man, we're not allowing you to come back. Like, you're going to go. You're going to be a top 40 pick. Yeah, just.
He's going to get himself a brick.
Yeah, he should get a brick. It'd be the first since Kyle Pitts.
I mean, that's incredible too, because he came in with very high expectations, right? I mean, he was a guy that when he came to UF was expected, hey, this guy's going to be the guy to solidify our offensive line. And I think he like even beat expectations, right? I mean, that's, we can say all we want about making the jump from, you know, University of Louisiana to Florida. And obviously saw Montrell Johnson do it well, and you saw him do it well. But he beat all expectations. I mean, zero penalties, zero sacks allowed in the entire season that's the best guard work that we've seen since the Pouncies, right? I mean, it's got to be.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's better, you know? Who knows?
I think if you're just looking at it on just the paper, outside of the winning national championships and all that, like the Pouncies are like goated forever for that type of stuff, but if you're looking at just like per production and you know, PFF and all that stuff, it's going to be hard to find somebody that grades out better than his 1 year here in any one single year.
Yeah, he literally weighed over 400 pounds in high school and just started playing football to try to lose weight and almost quit because it was too hard to lose weight.
Can you pass that diet plan over to 21?
What a story. I mean, literally just used football as a diet plan and it is going to be an All-American.
Now he's going to use it as a retirement plan.
Boom, look at Dan. That's
from a diet plan to a retirement plan. Bars. I just wrote his autobiography for him.
And bars, Dan, man. Dan's get you a show with currency.
And then Gervon, I don't think Gervon ever – I don't know what would have caused Gervon to stay at Florida for 4 years. Like the time he stepped foot on campus, there was a 3-year timer. He was gone. Anthony Richardson, I think, I don't know if I could have been any louder saying he was going to leave, and some people were like, you know, what'd you say, Silk? Like, the giggle emojis don't change, like, where he's getting drafted?
That's not going to change the NFL GM's minds and the scouts' minds, because you got funny memes and giggle emojis. You know, they still see the potential. They still see the crazy flick of the wrist and the wild throws. And to be honest, there's a lot of ego in the NFL, and they think they're smarter than Billy. They think they're smarter than O'Hara. So they're not caring about the lack of you know, the things we see that he's missing out on. They also know the lack of reps and all that stuff. So, yeah, none of that changes the skill set, man. And that's what we've seen all year. And we talked about it, but our fans are our fans, bro. I get it.
We
wanted Cam Newton. I'm sorry, Nick, but we wanted Cam Newton. That's not what we got, but the kid's still very talented.
I mean, there's so much of what he possesses you can't teach, the size, speed. Do I think, you know, one of the scouts I talked to said if he comes back next year, he could be the second quarterback taken after Caleb Williams. But like, you're not playing Madden, you can't turn injuries off. And when you're 6'4", 240, no one's squaring up with you. Every time you're going to be tackled, someone's diving at your knees, your ankles.
And the refs aren't protecting them either.
No, it's crazy. It's crazy. And it's not like bias or anything. It's like it happens with bigger quarterbacks, or it happens like with like LeBron or like Shaq. Mm-hmm. Like some of the stuff, like when Shaq was in the paint, that he would get hit with and they wouldn't call, it would be a technical foul on other people. And it's just like, no, you're bigger than them. So it's not, it's like, well, no, you got to call it the same way. It doesn't matter if I'm bigger or not. But, you know, there's times where AR would get hit, and I'm like, damn, if that was Tom Brady, someone would be going to prison. Sense of Guantanamo Bay for that.
And there's definitely a likelihood that Florida's offense, you know, especially on the offensive line, could be a little bit worse than this past year. I'm not saying that it's going to be demonstrably worse, but, you know, I don't think Anthony Richardson really gains a lot from coming back. I mean, it's a few million dollars probably, but if he has a chance to go to the right opportunity, you know, that second contract and that third contract and fourth contract is what you play for anyway. You know, I certainly wish him the best of luck. He's going to test off the charts. You know, certainly understand why he's doing it. And, you know, at the end of the day, he was a guy that proudly wore the Gator uniform, was an upstanding gentleman to the community, to the university and to the team. And certainly that's all you can ask for out of somebody, is for somebody to give you their energy and effort for 3 years. And he did that and more. So certainly, you know, the best of luck to him. You know, I think there will always be question marks of what could have been with Anthony Richardson and what could have been with Gervon Dexter, but certainly both have the opportunity to go make generational wealth for them and their families in this upcoming draft. So, gentlemen, lots of names in the portal, lots of names. So I started a while ago with Josh Braun, Marco Ortiz, Kamar Wilcoxon, Trent Whittemore, Nick Elksness, Griffin McDowell, DeJuan Black. Those are all names that we've mentioned before today. Since last week, Avery Helm, Dejon Reynolds, Lorenzo Lingard, Naquan Wright, Donovan McMillan, Corey Collier, and David Reese and Yosef Mugerbill have all announced that they will be in the transfer portal. Where do you guys want to start? This is what do you think are some of the bigger losses from that list? Or is there any names that surprise you?
No. The only one that I was a little caught off guard by today was Chief Borders. Thought that he would stay. Don McMillan, they wanted to move him to linebacker. I don't know if he's SEC safety fast, but I also have seen undersized linebackers at Florida take 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 12 years to develop. So I don't think that's in his best interest to be the next undersized linebacker project at Florida. So he made the best decision for himself. I guess the one that surprised me was Chief. I thought he was just happy to be here. Might get some more playing time next year.
Yeah, I don't think it was his decision, to be real, because he is happy to be here. I don't mind when players are a little mad about riding the bench, man. I'm just gonna keep it 100 with you, man. Chief was just comfortable, bro. He's vibing.
Yes, sir.
Were you guys surprised at all I know Dejon Reynolds got, you know, he had a great game against Vanderbilt, had a couple targets against, pardon me, against FSU. He announced that he would be entering the portal. He was a little upset. The fans were upset that he was leaving. But was that a name that, caught either of you by surprise? Nick, you probably knew beforehand. So, but.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised about
and Jalen
leaving. I heard Dejon was going to leave, you know, 6 weeks, seven, almost 2 months ago. But then thought maybe with the reps he got in the last two, three games, okay, maybe he sees a vision. But I mean, this is a kid from Illinois, then moved to Georgia, wasn't getting playing time until, you know, a bunch of injuries happened. So I get it. Right.
No, I wasn't too shocked by Dejon Reynolds. Kind of the same thoughts that Nick had. Like, I thought maybe the late production could keep him around. But just from my perspective, I don't think he's a bad receiver, but just not a lot of speed there. We're missing some speed at a position. There's a lot of speed coming in. I'm pretty sure they're going to try to acquire a lot of speed out of the portal. The recruiting class is already loaded with speed, but I think the receiver room at University of Florida has not looked like the receiver room we're used to in a little while now. So complete flip. I'm not surprised, but I think more receivers are on the way. I think we got my man out of Clemson, out of the Muck West, and I think he ends up in the portal as well. Just my opinion, but it's not a lot of production there, not a lot of tick, even with all the injuries. So wouldn't be shocked if he adds to that list.
I'd go as far as saying expected. Yeah, well, no.
How many are we at right now? What's the solid number? Do we have a count?
We have that have left.
I think there's 20. More than 20?
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. We're at count. At least 22.
22, I like it.
At least 22.
About 7 or 8 more to go.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think with all of the activity in the portal now, I think the likelihood of it being over. Remember a couple weeks ago, Silk, when you and I, even Nick kind of scoffed. He made a face. I'm going to pull it. When we said, I think that there's going to be about 25 people that leave the program. I wouldn't be surprised if that number is higher, right? I was a little worried at some point. I'm like, yeah, 25 is a little bit aggressive.
You can add Jalen Lee to your list now too.
Yeah, Jalen Lee, so 23. And I still think there's some more to go. I think that there's going to be some reactionary movement as well. If you feel like you're someplace at a depth chart and two people come in, there might be some movement there. I think you're going to see people certainly pull themselves out of the transfer portal as well. I think it was Richard Johnson that wrote an article, friend of the program, writes for Sports Illustrated. I think he said over the last 3 years, some 51% of those that enter the transfer portal end up having a landing spot somewhere. Now I'm a little unclear what landing spot means. I don't know if that's another D1 program. I don't know if that means if they went to JUCO or if they went to FCS, what that might mean, but there's still a huge contingent of folks that don't find themselves, with a place to go. So certainly, the portal can both, spit you out as well as, get you to a place that you want to be. So with that being said, Florida, with the loss of Jalen Kitna and Anthony Richardson, Florida finds it in a position where they have Jaden Rashada, who is going to be signing with the Gators out of California in a few weeks now. You have Max Brown on the roster, and you have Jack Miller as your scholarship quarterbacks. And then you also have Kyle Ingles, who is the walk-on quarterback. Right now, give me your guys' thoughts on the quarterback position. Any names that you guys are hearing, any names that you want fans to look out for, any names that get you excited out there in the quarterback world?
A name in 48 hours.
Say what?
there's a 2024 quarterback. And it's,
We are going to talk about recruiting towards the end.
I think tomorrow, the portal weekend.
That's what I thought.
Yeah,
too.
Well, I think that Florida's going to get a quarterback, a commit before a portal commit.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think that Florida's going to probably get at least a quarterback commit that will not cross paths with the one that's going to commit on Wednesday.
Yeah. Just judging on the message board and social media, wildly split among
that's your first mistake
among the fan base. But I think Grayson McCall is a kid to look for. He is a Coastal Carolina's quarterback. I mean, there's a ton of quarterbacks in.
I like Austin Reed. I'm an Austin Reed fan. I don't know where we at. I don't know if we offering him. I don't know any of that. I do like McCall. Mm-hmm. I like Austin Reed. I like Hartman.
Yeah, let's.
I don't know where he's at with it. But go down the list. I like Slovis from Pittsburgh. It's a lot of guys that I do like, man. I don't think none of these guys are perfect or is the complete answer for us to go beat Georgia and win a national championship and nothing like that. But there's a lot of potential and a lot of talent in the portal for sure and a lot of production.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Silk, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Just so people are aware, Austin Reed is with Western Kentucky right now. He transferred there after playing at West Florida, University of West Florida, where he led his team to a Division II national championship. He was the first player at West Florida to sign a name, image, and likeness deal. How about that? Had a big season at Western Kentucky at one point late in the season, ranked second in the nation with almost 4,000 passing yards. Obviously, a guy that is big out there. I think Mark Long, everybody's favorite beat writer, connected Austin Reed to Florida, originally from St. Augustine, Florida. Played at Southern Illinois, then West Florida, then Western Kentucky. So he's going to go to four colleges during his college time. So that's a heck of a thing to have to report to your job when they're sending transcript requests out. Let's see other names out there. Silk, he's got
Dan Mullen's travel agent.
I'm telling you what, Grayson McCall from Coastal Carolina is a big name. DJ Uiagalelei, I believe is how you say it, from Clemson announced that he will be entering the portal. He's a former five-star and has been supplanted by the freshman quarterback there at Clemson. Nick Evers, I think a lot of people are a no on DJ. I think that, you know, for him, probably heading back over to the West Coast makes a lot of sense. Name, I don't think that there's going to be any connection at all to University of Florida. Nick Evers has announced, along with his mother, will be entering the transfer portal as well from Oklahoma. Phil Jurkovic from Boston College was a name that I know was floated around a little bit as well. He has committed to Pitt. Keaton Slovis, Silk, you mentioned him from Pitt, is looking for another home. He was at USC before his time at Pitt. Graham Mertz from Wisconsin is a name people have mentioned. And I feel like I might be. Oh, Devin Leary from North Carolina State is another name. There's a lot of discussion about Drake May. There's a discussion about Sam Hartman. All of their names are still not entered into the portal. So they are all certainly pipe dreams at best at current. So a lot of huge names. Hudson Card from Texas is his name in. I mean, this is nuts. I mean, this is a who's who of quarterback names.
Yeah, the big name wise, who do you have? Jeff Sims is in there from Georgia Tech. I think he's similar to DJ. I don't want to, like, I'm not totally against DJ because one of these players could end up being like Hendon Hooker, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hendon Hooker didn't look as good as he did until he got to Tennessee. The potential was there, but you know, once Heupel and those guys got their hands on him, you could see the skill set and the play get better. So Billy could absolutely make one of these guys better. So I don't want to completely say that DJ is just a terrible quarterback. I just don't like what I've seen. Jeff Sims, similar mode. Don't like what I've seen, but he has some raw tools that some coaches may like. Just not what I want. I want a more proven, accurate guy to come in and just stop gap fill a season for Rashada and those guys to develop a little bit. What do you think about Hudson Card, like just skill set wise, Nick? Like, what do you think about him?
I like that they ran a lot of RPO there at Texas. I think there'll be familiarity with what Billy wants to do here. He just kind of had a tough road there with Sam Ellinger. That was always going to be the guy at Texas. And then you get Quinn Ewers coming in. I like Hudson Card. I would take him just from the experience he has in not – I mean, obviously he doesn't have a ton of playing experience, but the experience he has in a similar offense. Also, with like a transfer portal quarterback right now, like I don't think Florida – obviously, with the losing two of the quarterbacks, you need to get a transfer portal quarterback. I thought with AR, I planning on AR leaving, I thought you needed one anyway. Mm-hmm. But like Jaden Rashada is not going to be ready in 2024 or 2023. You need a transfer portal quarterback to play 1 to 2 years. So you're not looking for, you know, the next person to build your program around. You need someone to come in. And just not exist, but you need someone to come in and just run the program. You're not going to find, you know, I don't know that you're going to find a Hendon Hooker. I don't know that Florida's roster, as it currently stands, is even going to be competitive in the SEC East next year against Georgia. So you're not looking for, you know, a quarterback that's going to win you a national championship. You need someone to come in that can run the offense. And I think a Hudson Card could do that.
Yeah, definitely a lot of names out there. I mean, I don't know what Florida necessarily is going to do. I don't know. You know, Jack Miller is certainly a guy that there's still a lot of question marks about at Florida. You know, if Florida is able to secure two quarterbacks, somebody that can start next year and then maybe somebody that, you know, can fight with Jaden Rashada after, you know, Rashada's first year and maybe is towards the higher end of that class, you know, a junior, senior, you know, when Jaden Rashada's there and then, you know, getting a guy like DJ Lagway in, creates yourself a funnel. But if not, you know, Florida's going to have to put themselves in a position where they go from likely a quarterback for a season to then having Jaden Rashada start as a redshirt freshman. You know, certainly, you know, you want a little bit more depth than that. But do you think that there's a chance Florida could go after two quarterbacks in that case?
I think we need two quarterbacks, you know. Maybe we could separate them and find somebody in different classes. But, yeah, I think we absolutely do need two quarterbacks. Right now the room has just been shaken up in a crazy way and just bringing in, I think, Marcus Stokes. I'd rather replace somebody in the portal than actually on the recruiting trail right now. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't want to get another high school recruit. I want to get a portal guy.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know that. As you see today, I don't even know that getting a high school kid is a commitment or a roadblock because you know, you get the portal opens up and you got 1,000 kids in there. You know, within 10 hours. But I agree with you. I think you. I don't want to call it a stopgap. And then I'll go back on what I just said. Like Florida's roster is going to be completely different next year.
I love it.
And that's just like that's just a sign of the times. Like there's like some casual fans right now that are like, this is wild. Billy's 6-6, gets paid $7 million a year, and everyone's leaving. And like, look around, everyone's leaving everywhere.
They got a tweet out there. The starting SEC quarterbacks coming back. Will Rogers, KJ Jefferson, Jackson Dart, Robbie Ashford, Connor Weigman, Brady Cook, and AJ Swan right now. Still waiting on decisions from Spencer Rattler and Jaden Daniels.
Where's Spencer Rattler going?
There's a lot of
green screen fell down. I kind of knew that was going to happen.
Oh, man. Oklahoma State's quarterback just entered the transfer portal as well.
That's a pass.
Pass on him. I'm looking through this list to see if there's any other names. You're going to start to see, you know, some of these guys make decisions here soon. Cade McNamara. We do want to issue an apology for those that wanted to correct us.
Oh, my God.
During the show, we were wrong on Michigan's quarterback not being Cade McNamara during the game against Ohio State. We got probably no less than 15 tweets, a number of comments. If only you had spent the time to write that comment back, you would have seen us corrected in the show. We apologize for that fact error. All three of us were wrong, and we will work.
All three of us. Make sure that we don't. I wasn't wrong. I was confused. I'm like, why would he be trans?
Well, same, but so let's just blame it all on
Nick. I was wrong.
It's all on Nick.
I was wrong.
So,
bro, like people just paused it. Paused the show and then fired off a tweet because it was corrected like 10 minutes later.
Not even. So we apologize.
That's what I replied. I told you about just keep listening, bro.
Just keep listening. All right. So quarterback's obviously going to be one that we're going to look out for. We'll obviously start
check
to
in
see
with Denny. Denny worked with Austin Reed. That's I want to see. I know he sent out some tweets. Andy Staple, a lot of people around Gator Nation put out some tweets when he announced. So I do want to get the feedback and the buzz and see what's going on with him. A lot of winning, a lot of production, a lot of nasty throws, man. You just want winners. You want people with that type of culture already embedded in them, you know. So I think that would be a good stopgap guy if we could get Austin Reed. All those other guys have some skills, but the winning's not there.
Right, right. Looking through here at the running back position, do you guys think that Florida goes after a running back in this class? Obviously, you return Trevor Etienne and you return Montrell Johnson, both as sophomores and juniors, respectively. You are bringing in Treyon Webb. Florida is trying to get one more running back. Do you think that Florida is going to try to kick the tires and get a another running back in this class?
Yeah. I think in this class, I would like get a young boy. I know they're out there, Mark Fletcher, in the recruiting process. Mm-hmm. In the portal, it's going to be tough getting a veteran guy to come play behind these two monsters that we got with Montrell Johnson and Trevor Etienne. So I think we got to go out of the recruiting class, in my opinion, for a running back. We'll see how it all plays out because I know Fletcher's down to us in Miami.
And then looking to see if there's anybody else. You know, Florida is currently their tight end room probably desperately needs some help. I can see Florida going after some tight end help, some names that you might be familiar with. A couple of Michigan tight ends have announced, Lewis Hansen and Eric All. Looking for some other names here. Austin Stogner from South Carolina. Let's see. There's some decent size or some decent names here.
There's a kid from Princeton I saw. I'm blanking on his name right now. But he's like 6'7", 265. 2 years of eligibility left.
All right. So we'll look out for the Princeton guy. I know Florida is after Kyle Marlock, the transfer from Shorter University. Silk, I think that you said that there was some connection between the Marlock family and the University of Florida. I know Kyle Marlock is highly coveted. I don't believe that Florida has officially offered yet. Nick, you can correct me. And I know that he's taken a visit to Florida State as well. Any tight end thoughts? Yeah.
I like Murlock a lot. I don't know what we're waiting on to offer. We need to offer about 10 tight ends. So I don't know why we hesitating with giving him an official offer because the whole room is crazy. We'll see what happens. Do love Murlock, 6'4", 245-pound guy that put up a lot of production. There's some – this is just me reading message boards and on the Twitter streets. But there's some smoke out there about his family being Gator fans. I think he's originally from Georgia. So that'll bring him back to this area. Florida State has offered, like you said, he's been on their campus. I think our staff went to go see him this past weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I don't know. I know the message boards have all of the Florida Gators airplanes being tracked right now.
Love it.
All over the place. There is a name that I did forget to mention, and I know the internet will get mad. Michael Pratt, the quarterback for Tulane, is also somebody that is highly coveted amongst the Gator fans. Don't know what the likelihood of putting himself in the portal. Tulane obviously had a great year and would be a serviceable quarterback, a guy that visited Florida back when he was in high school. Silk, you mentioned Denny Thompson is Reed's quarterback coach, or was his quarterback coach, started for a year for St. Augustine High School. West Florida was his only option coming out, did well there, obviously. And then did well at Western Kentucky. Obviously, a lot of need in the tight end room. I think the Gators are probably pretty set unless they're able to nab one or two big guys out of the transfer portal on the offensive line. But our friend Black Pine Lab said the SEC is one in the trenches. Yes, that is, of course, a very famous quote by Abraham Lincoln. So appreciate that, Black Pine. On defense, where do you see the Gators going after? Obviously, linebacker is probably the biggest area of opportunity out there.
D-tackle, baby.
And D-tackle.
A little bit of everything on defense. I wouldn't mind seeing us sprinkle a little bit on each level. Trenches, linebacker, defensive back. I think all three levels need to be tweaked and fixed. Corey Carrier, I don't think we mentioned him in the exit.
Yeah, we just mentioned his name. We didn't dive into it.
Yeah, my bad. So that was kind of expected as well. But the safety position, there's a lot of I think we need some veteran help in that position. I think cornerback will be okay, especially with Kimber and Devin Moore coming back. So I think we're okay with corner. But I wouldn't mind seeing us going after another safety or two in the portal.
Yeah, going to take a look at some of the guys that are in the transfer portal at the safety and linebacker position. I think I mentioned it last week. I think Florida needs help everywhere. Linebacker, they're certainly very thin. Not recruiting well at linebacker right now either. Definitely going to be very short on talent. I think you almost have to go get at least two linebackers that are there. One name that I do think would be interesting to mention, I'm going to go back to wide receiver real quick just because I pulled it up. Zach Levitt, who is at Missouri, had a good year for Missouri this year. I think was their leading receiver, originally from Rockledge, Florida. That could be a guy that Florida goes after. But from the safety perspective, there's some names out there of, you know, some relatively highly regarded guys coming out of high school again. You know, just because they did well in high school and they were highly regarded does not mean that it's transferred, you know, very well. You know, Justin Flo from Oregon is a guy that I think embodies that, you know, former five-star guy. I think he was a number one or definitely a top 10 guy in his class. Goes to Oregon, gets processed out. Probably not a guy that's going to have a huge significant impact here. You know, but certainly there's a lot of names out there and Florida's going to desperately need some help at all sides. But I do think, Silk, you mentioned defensive tackle and linebacker are probably the biggest areas of opportunity, you know, for the Gators to improve, especially because it doesn't seem like they are improving right now in the recruiting side of things.
Already. What are you guys' opinion about seeing Justin Flo, Oregon, former five-star, highly touted guy, enter the portal as well? I think we need more production. I know people are going crazy because of the stars. People get excited about that type of stuff. But I think we need more production at the position. We could use talent, of course, but our linebacker room is so abysmal and just lacking a lot of leadership with Ventrell leaving, a lot of pure linebackers. We just don't have any. So I think we need to get a guy that's already productive in the college level that's looking to, you know, bolster his draft stock a little bit by leveling up and coming to the SEC. So hopefully we can find that type of guy or two in the portal for the linebacker room. But I don't think we need any projects or depth guys. We're looking for starters right now at linebacker.
Yeah, looking at some names here. Nick, you have any thoughts there?
I agree with Silk. I think you're looking for a guy that can come in right away. Right now, I think Derek Wingo will be your starting linebacker next year. So you're looking for a guy that can step in right away and play. I haven't done a ton of research. I've been looking at quarterbacks. I've been looking at probably every position except running back. I think you're going to need an offensive lineman. You need a couple tight ends. You can use a bunch of help at receiver. Safety, like if you look at Florida's roster, and I think Zach is working on a story of like what the projected depth chart's gonna be for the Las Vegas Bowl.
Not great.
Yeah, like if you look at Florida's roster, and there's probably a lot of teams that are like this because I mean, there's gonna be thousands of kids in the transfer portal who are gonna be fighting over hundreds of spots. Thousands of kids fighting over hundreds of spots.
Do you think, because of everything going on, I know there's a lot of money involved, these bowl games are going to be absolutely meaningless here soon? I mean, they already kind of are.
Sure.
But once you have a 12-team playoff, right? I mean, Florida's going to be completely ravaged. Oklahoma is going to be completely ravaged. I mean, you have so many schools where there's going to be so many transfers. You have schools with new coaches, old coaches. I mean, you have the new head coach of Cincinnati playing his old team of Louisville in the Pinstripe Bowl. I mean, you just have so many things that are happening. You have money out there. You have the transfer portal. You have all of these things. I just don't know if the future of college football includes bowl games the way that we've seen them for the last few decades.
Yeah, bowl season. I mean, postseason exhibition games is just not the vibes no more. We just had a kid, the Ohio State receiver. He's been hurt, but he declared pro to miss out on a playoff game, let alone a bowl game. So, I like the 12-team idea and format. If that's the thing going forward, it includes teams like this year. Playoff would have been, I think, fire matchups, bro. Mm-hmm. The year that we had Kyle Trask, Kyle Pitts, and Tony. I don't care what you say, bro. I know we didn't end the season and we didn't beat some teams, but we got into some great shootouts. If that team plays anybody in the playoffs, we got an opportunity to beat anybody in the country that year. I don't care who it is. You run it back with LSU or anybody else, that team has an opportunity to make it to the final two. So I like it. If you look over, I think they had a chart about how many teams who would have made the playoffs the most over the last, like, decade, if that was still a thing, and Florida was, like, a top five team. Like, us finishing top 12 isn't, you know, Muschamp did it, McElwain did it, everybody's done it, Mullen's done it, like, every coach here has done that. So all those are years that we would have made the playoffs, even the Muschamp team. You look at the year that we ended up at the Sugar Bowl and getting waxed by Louisville, but that team was, if you put us in a meaningful game versus anybody that year, like, we could have ran down on absolutely anybody. So I like the 12-team format, man. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Yeah, and that was what, Teddy Bridgewater's team?
Yeah.
That Louisville team. Yeah, and I don't know what the bowl season looks like. I know some people have said make the bowl season for the next year as a preseason game just to get an unusual matchup. I don't know if we'll ever see that. I just don't know.
How's that a plus?
I have no idea.
No, so if you don't make a bowl game, you don't get a preseason game? Like, what does that even make sense?
Yeah, I know. I'm just looking at what other writers and people have pontificated that's out there. I don't really know. I think that right now, you know, it makes very little sense for most of these guys to play unless they are, you know, looking and trying to get that next opportunity, you know, to start. But if you're a senior, if you're going to transfer, you're going to go early. I mean, you're going to probably lose, you know, at least 15%, if not more, of your roster at most major programs. So I think that the quality of the game will be bad. I mean, I just don't think that what you see, you know, Florida won 6-6. Florida was not a great team this year, but for the most part, they are pretty exciting to watch, right? They had a couple of close games, you know, could have very much been an 8-4, 9-3 type of team. Florida that is playing, just like the Florida that played UCF last year, is not the same Florida that is going to play in this game or the Florida that played Oklahoma a few years ago. And nobody wants to watch a half-ass Florida team play a half-ass Oregon State game at 2:30 in the afternoon on a Saturday unless there's nothing else on TV, right? So I just don't know if I can continue to see this, especially with how many bowl games there are now. There's, what, 41 or so now? So I don't know.
Well, it's going to continue as long as it's making money.
Well, no, of course. I get that. But
here's the other thing. Like, at this point of the year, Florida's 6-6. You got the stink of Vanderbilt and a loss to FSU. Is anyone really looking forward to the Las Vegas Bowl? No. But, like, in June, you'd probably take this game. And I think it's just like at the end of a long year, you're gonna get to situations where it'll be interesting. I just saw Brett Murphy tweet this: like, who's gonna be the first team to pull out of a bowl game? Just like, hey, we don't have enough players. We don't have enough players. We can't field a competitive roster because the guys that are in the transfer portal don't want to play in the game, tear an ACL, and then not have a landing place next year.
Well, that's why you have all those walk-ons that Billy Napier wanted. He foresaw this, right?
Yeah, sure.
He said, that's why I want to have 50 walk-ons, because if I'm going to have 50 people transfer out after the end of the season.
Well, I mean, I'm with you though. I'm with you though. I don't want to complain about more football, but like,
well, if it's shitty football, right?
Some of these bowl games just stink. Right. But I'm getting tripped. I mean,
I just don't know what it does for the product of the game, right? I mean, yeah, it's cool to see Florida play Oregon State. It's our first time ever, but
it's cool for the players. Like, you get a trip, you get a bunch of bowl gifts. That stuff is nice. But like, you're not even like, you're going to be, it's not even like that same team, not to give Dan Mullen credit for what he said for the Cotton Bowl, but like, you're going to be out like 30 dudes that you've been practicing with, going to class with, living with, like, aren't even there in Las Vegas. Like, they've peaced out, lockers cleared, you know, not on the team plane. Scott Strickland, if you're listening to this, I already booked my flight, but I've got insurance. If you got room on the team plane, I'm sure you do. That would get me in and out of Vegas quicker.
Yeah, me too, man. If y'all need a podcast just to journalize this thing a little bit for you, man, I'm definitely free.
I've got some travel plans that day, but if you can arrange that, Nick, I can move those around for sure.
Move things around.
Yeah.
When y'all follow the plane tracker and y'all see that joint land in Palm Beach, they coming to get your boy. I think the NCAA trying to figure out, or they're going to have to figure out, like, there's a lot of nuances here, right, that affects the bowl game. I think the portal, that's going to affect players showing up to it. And if you're opening the portal in the middle of bowl season, I don't know what they expect. You know, I think from an organization standpoint, they got to figure some of this out, because none of it's suited for this whole bowl season thing. They either got to scrap it and do something different, but having the portal open and all these decisions be made, and coaches haven't even started exiting yet, right? We thinking about the portal, the kids in the portal, but the coach is about to hit the portal here soon.
Yeah, you're starting to see that a little more bit, right?
A little bit, yeah. Shout out to Satterfield. He left Louisville in the middle of the night, pretty much. Woke up this morning. He's the coach.
He got himself. He got an extension that Louisville probably wouldn't have given him, right?
Yeah, I'm not mad at it. But
you mean you saw Luke Fickell leave Cincinnati? Luke Fickell leaves Cincinnati, goes to Wisconsin. Satterfield goes to Cincinnati. You saw Deion Sanders, and we can talk a little bit about Deion. He leaves JSU to go to Colorado. What other names? You have Jamie Chadwell from Coastal Carolina head up to Liberty, and I can say this now. Dan Mullen was heavily involved in discussions with Liberty University. At one point, it looked very, very close for Dan Mullen to actually be Liberty's new head coach. Some things fell apart there at the end. What other coaching moves have we seen thus far? Tennessee's offensive coordinator is heading down to USF.
I remember you told me about Dan, and I was like, there's no way his ego lets him go to Liberty.
Liberty got that bag though. They be paying. They pay very well.
I watched that. Was it Hulu or Netflix documentary about their
Jerry Falwell?
Yeah, wild stuff.
Yeah,
that's your list, Silk.
Let's see. I mean, we'll follow the transfer portal. Obviously, a lot of names.
Another name, AJ Cornelius, the offensive lineman out of Rhode Island. I think he tests out as FCS second highest graded offensive tackle. Just a huge name to follow. And I want to see how his recruitment plays out, if he takes visits, you know, if he gets the red carpet treatment throughout the process, or do he just decides tomorrow? You know,
that's interesting, because like that, a kid like that, you know, like let's say like Gervon Dexter would have hit the transfer portal instead of going to the NFL. Like, that's a kid that probably doesn't need to take visits. But if you're a kid that went to Rhode Island, like, and Florida, Alabama, Oklahoma, USC want to fly you out, like, yeah, I'm taking those visits.
Right. It's another Dakotas Crawford is a receiver that hit the portal that also got my eye on out of Nebraska. I know he's a kid that's been around the block a few times, so he may have a knee injury.
He's got a knee injury, but that's NIL. He was still in high school, and he got a NIL deal with SOS Cooling and Heating. Mama didn't know what NIL was, but she gave her son an instant NIL contract. Hey, naming him
the check still cashed.
Music to my ears, Dan.
Let's see. Looking
Christian Leary is a big name from the high
school. Yeah, Christian Leary from Alabama.
Yeah. Just name wise, I think that's a big name to hit it. I think we all wanted him out of high school. Just receiver. I think we need some receiver bodies to go alongside this this loaded freshman class that's coming in. Couple more. Just I know. I think Nick mentioned Dominique Leavitt in the past. Another SEC guy. He should be pretty coveted as well, coming out of Mizzou.
Especially if Pearsall leaves, then that's a slot guy you can throw right in, because Florida does not have a slot guy unless you're gonna, unless you're counting on Eugene Wilson to enroll and play right away.
No doubt. That's all I got from the portal, man. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it all play out. But there's a lot of quarterback opportunities. I'm not this is not 3 years ago when we brought in, or more than 3 years ago at this point, when we brought in Luke Del Rio and what's my man name?
Austin Appleby.
Appleby, man. Like that was tough time.
Mason Halter.
From Rhode Island, right? Is that where he was from?
Fordham.
No, he's from Fordham.
Fordham. That's what it was. Oh, well, Florida's after a Rhode Island guy now. Yeah.
Where's Fordham? The Bronx?
New York City, man. Yeah, in the Bronx.
We got Malik Zaire from the transfer portal back in the day.
Mm-hmm. And those sleeves. Got them 19.
Man, the lies I told about Malik Zaire. I was lying about Malik Zaire, bro. What such poverty in my life. Christ, man.
You were lying about Malik Zaire?
I was shamelessly on the internet hyped about Zaire himself, bro. That's embarrassing stuff to look back. I'm going to go back and delete those tweets right now, man.
Yeah, that's a good look. You just never know. They might come back. Trying to think, who are some other transfer names from the past?
The only person that really hit was Mullen.
John Grenard.
Yeah, John Grenard obviously was really good. Justin Shorter obviously had a good career at Florida.
Trevon Grimes was decent.
Trevon Grimes.
Yeah.
Trayvon Grimes, I got to take. Trayvon Grimes and Ennis reminds me of each other a little bit.
Then you can keep them.
I'm just letting you know, bro. That's a great take. Shout out to St. Thomas Aquinas.
That is a great take. Let's see. I'm trying to think of any other names that were bringing back old memories. But with that being said, while we're thinking of old memories of transfers, Florida did have a couple of recruits on campus this weekend. As we talked about earlier on in the show, the Gators are still waiting on five-star quarterback DJ Lagway out of Texas, who is going to announce on December the 7th where he is heading to college, a class of 2024 five-star quarterback. Between Florida and USC, really depending on who you talk to or who you listen to, a lot of people are excited in the Gators camp about him. Certainly there's a reason for USC fans to feel optimistically about the way that Lincoln Riley has developed quarterbacks during his coaching tenure as well. But certainly we will find out on Wednesday. If you jump on the On3 message boards, they are frantic right now.
it's a USC Florida battle there.
It is a USC Florida battle. Van Jefferson is a name that we forgot.
And Van was Van and John Grenard are the two best transfers Florida's had.
We just offered.
I think Osiris Torrance is the best transfer that Florida's had.
There's the top three.
I agree with Dan. We just offered a transfer from Louisville, Caleb Banks, defensive line transfer. He just tweeted out that the University of Florida offered. So the trenches need a lot of work. I want to know what. How do you say his name?
Tunmise.
I would have never got that right.
I think Connor Clark had to say it three or four times to me before I finally said it.
I appreciate it. That's another guy I look out for in the trenches, but we need – I don't know if he's inside, outside, how they view him, but I think he's listed as an edge guy. But another defensive line offer.
Yeah, on just going back to recruiting here real quick, this past weekend, Florida had Desmond Ricks, formerly of the class of 2024, now the class of 2023, the number two cornerback in the country. Right now, looks like he is looking closely, obviously, at Florida, looking very closely at LSU. Have you guys heard of any update on the Desmond Ricks side of things? Look, tricked out in his vintage Florida Gators clothing. Hugh brought the Lambo back to town, but any on his visit.
Love yourself.
No, I'm not getting my hopes up.
Yeah, love yourself is LSU till it isn't, in my mind, with Desmond Ricks. But I heard he had a great visit this weekend. It looked fun. A lot of photos. I think the media team at UF and those guys do a great job. But until it's not LSU, it's LSU for me personally.
Four-star defensive lineman Jordan Hall was on campus as well. He's looking at a number of in-state schools, looking at Georgia as well. You know, Jordan Hall said it's hard to not see himself at the University of Florida. Obviously a guy that Florida desperately needs. Just for depth perspective, you know, I know some people are a little hit or miss on Jordan Hall and his senior film this year. You know, Florida is desperately in need of talent at the defensive line position. And then four-star athlete Aaron Gates was on campus. He is also looking at Michigan, you know, Gators get him back on campus. Nick, I do have a question about what would have been the December 16th, 17th visits. But next weekend, the Gators have four-star linebacker, defensive lineman, pardon me, John Walker coming onto campus. He's currently committed to UCF. Cornerbacks Jakeem Jackson and Sharif Denson are supposed to be on campus. Four-star running back Mark Fletcher, four-star linebacker Jaden Robinson, defensive back Dijon Johnson, and three-star wide receiver Tyree Patterson are expected, as well as three-star offensive tackle Caden Jones, who right now, with what Florida needs at the offensive line position, looks almost as a must need there.
Must get.
Yeah,
must get.
Florida is another thing about having, you know, early bowl games. Now Florida is going to be in Las Vegas. Well, here's the thing. So Florida hasn't practiced yet. There's no way they're going to get all 15 practices in. Unless they're doing like 3-a-days, which I don't think you can even do by the law, by the NCAA rule. So you're not going to get 15 practices in. You're not practicing right now because the coaches are all over the country recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to be in Las Vegas on the last weekend that you could hold official visitors. So Florida is trying to get everyone in the weekend before for their official visits. But certainly not an ideal.
We only got half the team, so send half the staff out there, bro. Half of the staff here for visits.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. They have, what, 65 analysts on roster? Just go send some of them out.
6,500
analysts. So send some of them out. I don't know what the rule book is. I don't know if that's legal or not, but, you know, ask questions later.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You guys ready to get out here?
Do what you want to do.
Oh, Silk, thoughts on Dion? I know that the group chat's been active, but you don't have to share. You can just
I'm with it. Mixed feelings, right? Mm-hmm. I think Dion approached this whole situation with different energy than what he's leaving with. That's my overall take on it, right? I think when he approached this whole endeavor with HBCU, JSU, and a lot of the talking points he had, whether it was 60 Minutes, I Am Athlete, it was even with the conversation that Travis Hunter was having, it was about, you know, changing the culture, you know, being able to go to HBCU and then take your talent to the NFL. Him saying that he thought that HBCUs could do the same exact thing. So to see him leave out the 2 years, like personally, I'm all for, you know, elevating up your career and all that, but that just wasn't what was sold. And that wasn't what I personally was following. You know, I was following this whole thing. I think the average fan, you see, like it's controversial. I think most of the controversy is coming out of him leaving 2 years, Travis Hunter, a guy that was 17 in high school, risked his career and his future in millions to go to try this endeavor of HBCU football, trying to go pro from there. I don't think Travis Hunter is even All-American in the conference he's in, or he's all swag or something like that. I don't know if he's first team. I don't know if he's been developed. I look at him physically. I don't think he's gotten any bigger or stronger since he's been on campus at JSU. So there's a lot for me, like, just to question overall, like, those kids he brought in, are he going to take them to Colorado? The good ones, yeah. But what does that do for JSU? You know, the change that he did bring to JSU, is it sustainable? I don't think it is. Like, how much change can you really make in 2 years? As far as attendance, JSU always had great attendance. They always had good fan involvement. The alumni always gave back. So they're like FAMU a little bit. They always had some support. They're not like Bethune or one of these programs that are struggling to get involvement. So I don't know how much substantial, sustainable change Deion brought. It looks like most of it was just self, you know, elevation. You know, for people to say, oh, this guy didn't have the resources. He knew that before he got the job. He knew that before he made these promises. And I think he went out of his way to be on I Am Athlete, 60 Minutes, to get his face on TV, to say these things as far as him being able to compete with the Bamas of the world and get kids drafted first round. So for us not to see that, even when the kid followed him to Colorado, Travis Hunter is not about to go first round. You know, so you took the number one kid overall, and I think the story is still ongoing, but what happens with him, you know? That's my overall take. Not mad at him getting another job. Not mad at him. I mean, if it was Florida State, I think fans would have got it too. If it's Florida State, or you come to USF to your roots, it's a little different than going to out in the mountains, a one-win team. It just looked like you left an HBCU for any old public white institution, is what they call it.
Do you I saw part of the video when he was talking to his team, he said, I think because it kind of goes along with wanting to build the HBCUs, he said, now I'm doing it to advance black coaches and getting a Power Five job. Do you believe that, or is that just what you say to a 17-year-old kid because it's convenient and now, you know, hey – 10 months after I got the number one kid to come here, I'm dipping. But he did tell Colorado that he's bringing his own baggage, and it's Louis. So I imagine that Travis Hunter is that Louis bag he's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just convenient for him to say, oh, yeah, no, it's about the coaching. That's not like you're changing the narrative, and which is cool. You know, like it's no slight. Like we all have different opinions and still move on and not be about hate or anything crazy. But I just think the narrative changing. The narrative when this all started was about elevating HBCUs to the point where these kids can, like, of our own. We could bring our own into a black university, and then with our own, these kids could go to the NFL, you know, and then that when these players leave HBCU and they go to NFL, of course, they're bringing back NFL resources, money, and giving back to the university. So, you know, the culture keep feeding itself a little bit. That's not what we got. You know, JSU got abandoned in the middle of the night. You know, they got left holding a lot of beef. You know, Deion made a lot of enemies these 2 years and with other HBCU coaches, other programs. He put a target on JSU back. I think JSU would be fine, but I don't think there's any change Deion brought that was substantial. I just thought it was just
sustainable.
I don't think any of it was sustainable. Class is gonna fall apart, their roster is gonna fall apart, they gotta go find coaches, they gotta do all of this right now. Like that whole roster is gonna be upside down. So, like, what change did he really bring? Everything he brought there, as far as like even the kid, you're taking him with you. Like, it's just nasty. It just comes off as nasty work for me, man. To have a kid risk his future to come play football for you. For the culture, you know, that's what the kid was sold. We could talk about the resources and money and all that for his staff and what he did. What he sold to the kid was, hey, I could bring not just the one kid, a lot of those kids were entertaining him, taking visits. You sold a dream, and then you cut that dream short and say, hey, I got a different dream now. Let's go to Colorado. It just comes off a little nasty for me. But yeah. Shout out to Deion. Now you got Deion, win games.
Deion's about Deion, bro. I think that's –
Point blank, period. And that's fine if you lead with that. Don't lead with it's about the culture and then it turns to it's about me and my staff and us getting paid. You know, that's just changing the narrative.
Black Pine Labs want to thank him for his super chat donation. Selk, I get the mixed feelings for the culture. Part of the progress is wrestling with these kinds of emotions and actions. What you're feeling is exactly what lets progress take place. Keep on keeping on. So appreciate that. Black Pine Labs. And if you are listening, please hit the like button. It helps us from an algorithmic perspective. I am curious, you know, to watch the continued unfolding of Dion. I do think that there's, you know, some positives, hopefully, that he brought to the community and to the culture of historically Black schools. I know that there's been a number of hires.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I do think he's helped JSU in some fashion. From an HBCU standpoint, like, it's just like, it's like real changes that need to be made for it to be like real stuff, bro. And I don't think from a core level, as for the disparities with funds from the government, you know, the states, disparities with federal funding. It's just a lot of things. The corruptness too. It's a lot of things that's going on with HBCUs. And I don't think Dion affected that part of it. Did he help JSU in some ways? Yeah, he helped JSU with popularity amongst like pop culture and regular people. But JSU was already popping for Dion. Guy there. It's going to be popping when he leaves.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that you, Silk, are you, CJ and Laren did a really good episode of the Roll Up a few months ago. I think it was early on in the season or maybe late summer where, you know, CJ, who hosts the Roll Up with Silk, played at Bethune-Cookman, obviously another historically Black college or university. And, you know, he talked about some of the struggles that they have. And Silk, I know that you know, firsthand and through a lot of relationships that you have about a lot of the struggles that HBCUs have. And hopefully for, you know, for them, there is continued involvement, continued enhancement and, you know, opportunity for these kids. I know that you guys were talking about, a lot with funding and student aid and how quickly that gets dispersed out compared to other schools. So really fascinating podcast listen from a few months ago. You know, certainly for HBCUs, hopefully there's still, you know, a huge interest and opportunity for others that maybe aren't as maybe self-motivated or whatever it might be to continue to enhance and grow them. I know Eddie George is at Tennessee State. I know that there's some other programs that are starting to make some bigger hires, and hopefully they can continue to do that and enhance them. But Silk, certainly appreciate your commentary there, my friend.
Deion's smooth with it. Deion, that's my last thing on it, but Deion even got the average, you know, us from the culture to just go along with that spin as well. Like, we were all happy when Travis did that for Black culture, right? Oh, this kid's risking it all to make some real change. And then, like, we cheered that on. And now that don't mean nothing, right? You know what I'm saying? And everybody's, oh, what would you do? Me, I wouldn't have led with, I'm doing this for the culture. That's what I would have did. I would have led that, hey, I need an opportunity to maybe get to a Power 5 level. HBCU provides that. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get to a different level. But, no, you led with emotions and, you know, selling the dream. And then all the fans just switched to, oh, yeah, we're going to cheer for Colorado. I'm not chilling for no damn Colorado.
Oh, man.
Have fun, Deion.
Let's get one final ad read. Silk, you have song of the week. Nick, you have any other final thoughts before we give a shout out to Alumni Hall?
No, we'll have a more of a preview for the Las Vegas Bowl next week.
Yeah, a lot of research.
And it's going to be
casinos, man.
It's going to be all the odds are the same. I'll be on a blackjack table, a craps table.
They're all the odds are the same, but the betting amount limits to play is different. That's what you have to remember, Nick. I know that for you, money ain't a thing, but
it ain't tricking if you got it, Dan.
You go, you hang out on Fremont Street. Maybe you can get some $5 or $10 tables. You head over to Resorts World. You head over to the Bellagio. You're looking at $20 plus.
The one time I went to Vegas, we stayed at the MGM, and it was a Pacquiao fight. There was nothing under a $25 table.
That sounds about right. Right now, Florida is currently – have you guys looked at the spread for this game?
No, they didn't waste my time, man. I love myself.
I've also been loving myself.
No, so do you guys want to take a guess? What do you guys think the spread is right now?
10. Florida plus 8.5.
Florida 8.5. Silk, you said Florida plus 10?
Florida plus 10.
The spread is Florida plus 9.5 right now.
Ah! Split the difference.
The over-under is 52.5 in this game. crappy. All right, Silk, think about your song of the week. Let's give a final shout out.
We won't worry about running the damn ball this time, fellas.
Oh, we have no other opportunity. No other, nothing else to do. Nothing else to do. All right, guys, let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at Alumni Hall. Go visit them at alumnihall.com or go visit them on Archer Road in Gainesville, Florida. They have a bunch of new sweaters. They've got a bunch of new Yeti polos, men's and women's Nike sweaters. They just got a new restock of their hoodies as well. They also have a bunch of new Yeti cups available to keep your mulled wine, hot chocolate, coffee, whatever it might be, keep that warm. A lot of online exclusives, a lot of ornaments, knickknacks, whatever it might be for the Christmas and holiday time. Go visit them again, alumnihall.com, or go visit them on Archer Road at right before Chipotle and all that stuff, right after McAllister's and Four Rivers and right before Chipotle and Walgreens, right there on your what is that, north side, west side, whatever that might be, north side.
If you're getting off north 75, side of it's on your left. If you're driving towards 75, it's on your right.
Yeah, but that's still a direction, and I believe that direction is west.
You're west.
No, it's actually north. It's north. Beefing over the compass, if you're traveling east, it's north. So it's right there. So give us the song of the week, my friend.
I'll give y'all some morning energy, part of my morning playlist, man. Absol, Do Better. Some caffeine for you in the morning time. If you're listening to this in the morning, it should be a little Red Bull to the soul.
Oh, what is it again?
Absol, Do Better.
Do Better. Perfect. I'm looking forward to hearing it for the first time. Silk, Nick, it's an absolute pleasure to see you guys the same corner, same time next week.
Same corner, same time. I'm going to fix my green screen, fellas. I got
Yeah. Go do
from the locker room to my man cave.
I'm gonna go study the Beavers of Oregon State. And
I like studying Beavers.
Beavers. Go study the Oregon Beavers. All right, boys.
Already, man.
Next week.
Hold it down.
They always haunt my dreams. The green twins with your eyes. The green twins with eyes.
Gotta do better, I 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 gotta gotta do better, I gotta do better, I gotta do better, gotta do better today. Gotta do better before it's too late.
Said I gotta do better, I gotta do better, I gotta pick up the pieces and master the puzzle upon us. Look the man in the mirror in the eye and be honest. Slow down time, get back in line with my chakras. Reach for the galaxy, leave stardust for dust after me. Enter the void, fill in the cavity. Risk the reward if that's how it has to be. I gotta do better, I gotta do better, I gotta do everything in my power to try to do what gotta do. Ride the tide, don't fight with the current that guided you. Melt the ice, round the furnace burning inside of you. I gotta do better, I gotta do better, I gotta do better. There's nothing they can do that I can't do better. Better yet, there's nothing I can do that I can't do better. Yeah, I'm better. I said I'm better.
Gotta do better, I gotta do better, I gotta. Gotta do better, I gotta do better, I gotta do better, I gotta do better, I gotta. Gotta do better, I gotta do better, I gotta do better, gotta do better today. Gotta do better before it's too late.
Shade stuck to my face, hoodie glued to my head. Hiding from the same world that made me who I am. Deep rest, can't even get out of bed. Too blessed to be so stressed. I do all this shit just to say get off my deck. Mixed emotions prohibit my focus. This what you wanted, what's wrong with you? You don't make sense. Feel like I could flip at any moment. Faces playing and it's fucking with me. Doing drugs was just a war with boredom, but it's sure to get me. Lord forgive me. Amen. Wear the crown of thorns for sport. I'm just waiting for a stone to hit me. Relationship on the rocks, my family y'all concerned. My homie still on the block, getting it off the curb. I'm stricken by survivor's guilt, I'm getting it off of words. Word.
They always haunt
Come on, Herb, you
gotta do better. I 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 gotta. Gotta do better. I gotta do better. I gotta do better. Gotta do better today. Gotta do better before it's too late.
When I'm one with the wind, when I'm one with the wind, feel me on your skin. I'm one with the wind, I'm one with the wind, I'm one with the wind, feel me on your skin. I'm one with the wind.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.